Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 28th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Amazon shares plunge after becoming the latest tech giant to post disappointing earnings.
Apple avoids the tech route despite warning of a holiday slowdown.
The earnings spotlight turns to big oil. ExxonMobil and Chevron are on tap to report.
And Elon Musk officially takes over as CEO of Twitter.
New York City has its first ever female FDNY commissioner. Plus, we're learning more about a hijacked passenger bus in Queens. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Nets lost in overtime. The Ravens beat the Bucks. The Phillies and Astros begin the World Series tonight in Houston.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 30 points this morning. Dow futures down 91, and NASDAQ futures down 131, or down 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 12/32, yield 3.96%, and the yield on the 2-year, 4.34%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, we begin this morning with an earnings-related sell-off that is on track to wipe off more than $600 billion in market value this week alone. And that's just from America's five largest tech companies. The latest culprit is Amazon. Those shares are down 13.67% in early trading following earnings that fell short. Ed Ludlow has details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
There was a severe after-hours reaction to Amazon's forecast for the fourth quarter that revenue will be between $140 and $148 billion, significantly below what the street is looking for. And that's a theme of this earnings season, right? Investors punishing companies, not just those missing on the top and bottom line, but those giving tepid forecasts. There was a long list of problems for Amazon, really. Currency continues to be a headwind to the tune of $900 million in the quarter gone, and it will continue to impact Amazon going into the final 3 months of this year. Ed Ludlow for Bloomberg News in San Francisco.
All right, Ed, thanks. Well, Apple has managed to avoid the tech route. Shares are up 1% in early trading. Though sales of iPhones and services were softer than expected, Apple's revenue and profit both topped estimates. Still, Apple CFO Luca Maestri warns of a holiday slowdown.
Overall, we believe total company year-over-year revenue performance will decelerate during the December quarter as compared to the September quarter for a number of reasons. First, we expect nearly 10 percentage points of negative year-over-year impact from foreign exchange.
And Apple CFO Luca Maestri says sales of Mac computers will decline substantially. Stay tuned for analysis on both Apple and Amazon coming up shortly when we speak live with Loop Ventures co-founder Gene Munster.
In the meantime, Karen, we have some more earnings to get you caught up on. Shares of Intel are up about 5% in early trading. The chipmaker's pledging to slash costs to combat a persistent slump in computer demand that's dragging down sales and profit. Shares of Gilead Sciences are up 3.5%. The company boosted its earnings guidance for the full year, and shares of Pinterest are higher by 8.5%. The social media company reported earnings and revenue that beat estimates.
Well, up next, Nathan, the focus turns to big oil. Both ExxonMobil and Chevron report this morning. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Overall, the third quarter was likely a good one for the oil giants, thanks to oil prices that remained elevated through most of the last 3 months. Bloomberg Intelligence says the company's fourth quarter outlooks will be key. It raised the possibility of weaker cash flow for ExxonMobil due to falling crude and gas prices and said there is the potential for slower profit growth at Chevron. ExxonMobil put out a pre-earnings release to let investors know that its chemicals and refining businesses were down compared to the second quarter. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Jeff, while you wait for those earnings, President Biden's demanding oil companies cut prices. That's after Shell reported its second highest earnings ever. The president says gasoline prices should reflect what energy companies pay for oil.
Last quarter, the five largest oil companies made in the last quarter $70 billion in profit in 90 days.
Well, the comments from President Biden drew a sharp response from oil industry leaders. They say refiners don't set the price at the pump and that Washington should leverage U.S. energy production.
Well, Nathan, another major story we're following this morning closes the book on a six-month takeover saga. Elon Musk has completed his $44 billion acquisition of Twitter, and Bloomberg News has learned he plans to assume the role of CEO today. There will surely be more changes on the way. We get details from Bloomberg intelligence analyst Matthew Bloxham.
There's been a lot of speculation about how much Elon Musk is going to change Twitter. You know, the rumors about 75% job cuts, the reinstatement of people like Donald Trump to the platform, a complete change in the business model. Over the next 12 months, you could see him introduce some kind of subscription tier to the business. All sorts of things could change. So I think it's going to be an interesting few days and months, and I'm sure we're going to hear quite a bit from him today about his plans.
Bloomberg intelligence analyst Matthew Bloxham says Musk is expected to remain CEO in the interim, but may eventually cede the role in the long term.
Let's turn to the U.S. economy now, Karen. We are wrapping up the week with a few notable data points covering inflation, sentiment, and spending. We get more from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
The government issues data in September, household income and spending today, and Wall Street will keep an eye on inflation figures tied to the report. Bloomberg Economics says any surprise could influence the course of Federal Reserve interest rate hikes. Meantime, Bloomberg Economics says today's University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index for late October will remain low by historic standards, highlighting recession risks. Also on tap today, the Employment Cost Index and pending home sales. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Finny, thanks. In Asia overnight, it was all about the yen. The currency has rebounded this week, but is reversing that trend this morning, weakening to 147.47 against the dollar. That's after the Bank of Japan stood pat on its ultra-low interest rate policy. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the story.
This is the BOJ pushing back against speculation it might change its tune. No go. The board left the negative rate, the 10-year yield cap, and the asset purchases unchanged. This was in line with all 49 economists surveyed. The BOJ did raise the inflation forecast to 2.9% for the year ending in March. It predicted price growth will slow to 1.6% in the next 12 months. The BOJ is walking a tightrope here as the dovish stance puts downward pressure on the yen while the government is spending billions supporting it. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Local news straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 47 degrees in Central Park. Got construction on the northbound New Jersey Turnpike Eastern Spur. We'll get to the details in traffic shortly. First, Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. We're learning more about a nightmarish commute for public transit bus riders in New York City. Police say an MTA bus was hijacked in Queens yesterday. The bus driver is hailed as a hero for not moving the bus until passengers could get off the vehicle after the suspect, armed with what turned out to be a BB gun, confronted the veteran driver. The 44-year-old man, Dwayne Gatti, was taken into custody after the bus crashed into a utility pole. NYPD Deputy Chief Jerry O'Sullivan.
I definitely want to commend the driver for his actions. He did not move the bus until everyone was off that bus. I believe the driver was calm and did a great job.
Deputy Chief O'Sullivan says the bus driver jumped out of the driver's side window to eventually escape. New York City Mayor Eric Adams appointed Acting Fire Commissioner Laura Cavanaugh to lead the department on a permanent basis, making her the first female commissioner in the 157-year history of the Fire Department of New York.
While we put in place the national search, looking over several names and interviewing several candidates, I kept coming back to Laura over and over again. Over and over again, I just kept coming back to her leadership.
After getting sworn in, Kavanaugh says her journey to this moment was unexpected.
New York City's story is fundamentally one of making the impossible possible.
Kavanaugh, who is 40, has served as acting commissioner since the retirement of Commissioner Daniel Nigro in February. Election sites across the country have been encountering threats and intimidation since early voting began in some states. Out of concerns for the safety of poll workers and voters, the NYPD has announced that they will be keeping a closer eye on polling places. With the midterm elections just less than 2 weeks away, the NYPD is warning that racially motivated and anti-government extremists could target poll workers, political rallies, politicians, and voting sites. Police say there are currently no specific threats in the city. North Korea fired two short-range ballistic missiles today as it continues a barrage of launches in opposition to U.S. and South Korean military drills. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Good morning, John Stanshire.
Good morning, Nathan. After a turbulent offseason where the star player demanded a trade unless the coach and general manager were fired, maybe not a surprise, the Nets are off to a slow start. Lost at Barclays to Dallas, 129-125 in overtime. Luka Doncic, 41 points and a triple-double for the Mavs. Kevin Durant, who rescinded that trade demand, scored 37 points. Kyrie Irving had 39, but the Nets are too much a two-man team. The duo took 52 shots, and the rest of the team only 41, and the Nets are 1-4. Knicks are 3-1, play tonight in Milwaukee. The Tampa Bay Bucks are 3-5 after starting 2-0, lost at home to Baltimore 27-22. Ravens outrushed Tampa Bay 231-44. Tom Brady on what went wrong.
Struggling red area, struggling third down, struggling run game, two-point plays, short yardage. Backed up, start the first quarter, start of the third quarter. Not very good offense football.
The only positive for Tampa right now in the NFC South, no one's over 500. So the Bucs could win the division, but hard to see them making a Super Bowl run the way they're playing now. Giants are 6-1 without any production from last year's first-round draft pick, wideout Kadarius Toney, who hurt one hamstring and then the other. The Giants just traded Toney to Kansas City for third and sixth round draft picks. The World Series begins tonight in Houston. Astros won 106 games in the regular season. The Phillies won 87. That's the largest disparity since the third World Series ever in 1906. John Stashower, Bloomberg.
All right, John, thanks. NASDAQ futures down 1.3%, down 148 points, dragged down by Amazon, down 13.6%. Apple shares a little bit higher. We'll wrap up tech earnings this week with G. Munster of Loop Ventures next. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning, led by the NASDAQ, with NASDAQ futures down 150 points, down 1.3%. S&P futures down 32, Dow futures down 100. 10-year Treasury down 18/32nds, yield 3.99%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.37%. And NYMEX crude oil down 1.5% on $1.30 at $87.78 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Top Democrats say they are still confident they'll maintain control of Congress after midterms less than 2 weeks away. With polls showing Republicans gaining ground, Democrats are turning to former President Obama. He's campaigning today in Atlanta for Senator Raphael Warnock, who's locked in a tight race against former football star Herschel Walker. Thursday night football, the Ravens beat the Buccaneers 27-22. Tonight, game one of the World Series between the Phillies and Astros. NBA, the Nets lost, Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins won, the Capitals lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're coming up to 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak at the end of a bruising week for tech earnings, and Amazon is the latest stock to get punished right now, down 13.5% on a weak forecast for the holiday quarter. But if there's one somewhat bright spot, it may be Apple. Those shares are little change to the upside at the moment. Let's get some more insights now. Gene Munster is with us live, the co-founder of Loop Ventures. It is great to speak with you, Gene, and I've gotten a look at your note on Apple. You write that investors are buying both performance and potential. Tell us a little bit more about what you mean.
Well, the investors in this environment want both. And what we've seen is that the companies that have offered the biggest potential, you think about Meta as the perfect example of that related to the metaverse, have been hit the hardest. Google to a lesser extent, but still this idea of investors waiting for something to emerge is usually very important for tech investors. But in this earnings period, it's less important. And I think one of the beauties of Apple is that their current performance has been solid, and they still have this optionality around new markets that they can get into that can potentially have a step function up in their growth rate, which is hard to imagine given how big they are, that the law of numbers can still work in their favor. But I think that that is the balance that this company is working in. Just to put it in a perspective, Nathan, one final point is that Apple is the only big tech company to guide essentially in line with the street. They don't give formal guidance, but you can back into it. And I think that that speaks to the strength of performance. And if you're curious, the reason why was iPhone. It's just over half of their business. It was up 10% year over year. That was in the face of a 47% comp. And so the number actually would have been even stronger if not for supply constraints. They're still supply constrained on the most popular Pro models by 3 to 4 weeks. And typically at this point in the cycle, or 6 weeks into the new iPhone cycle, you would see lead times of 1 to 2 weeks. And so I think that, they are continuing to do well. They got the performance and they got the potential around automotive and AR and something in health.
Talking about supply constraints, we're seeing a lot of constraints apparently coming out of Amazon's results, projecting a much weaker than expected holiday quarter. And I assume that that includes the earlier Prime Day promotions that we just saw, right?
Most of those promotions fell into the September quarter. And so it's less about the Prime Day impact, but I want to put some perspective, and they did guide lower than where the street was at for the December quarter. That's true, but I think there's this, I think it's an overreaction. I just want to make the case that it is an overreaction, is that the street was previously looking for 12% revenue growth for December. If you take the midpoint of their guidance, it would have been 4%, so that is a slowing growth. There's no doubt about it. They usually hit the high end over the past 20 years, almost 95% of the time they come in at the high end. That would be like 6%. So they guided down. That is true. The consumer is weak. That is true. The advertisers are weak. All of this is having a negative impact on Amazon's business. But the piece that surprises me is that I think it is just this reaction down 13% is more commentary about that we were talking about earlier with Apple, is that investors just demand performance today. And whether it's a small cap or a mega tech cap, they want it today. And I suspect that investors will quickly move on and get more comfortable that Amazon's business is in a good place longer term.
Well, we've got you on, Gene. I've got to get your thoughts on Twitter now that Elon Musk apparently is at least an interim CEO. Is Twitter investable under an Elon Musk as the leader?
Yes, anything with Elon right now, he still has the golden touch, so it is investable. He's going to kind of go away for 2 or 3 years and take the rails off of it and run this like a private company that it will be. And we'll see what he pops out. I was encouraged to hear his commentary yesterday that he does not want this to become a free-for-all because obviously he's going to take some of the governors off of what you can say. And I think that's important. Ultimately, when you put this all together, Twitter is still a side project for Elon. His true passions are Tesla and SpaceX. And I think that we're thinking a lot about it now. Probably a year or two from now, we're going to be thinking a lot more about SpaceX and Tesla.
Just about 30 seconds left, Gene. We've seen, obviously, tech shares broadly get punished this week. Would you buy back into tech at these levels?
I think so. If you have a perspective, I think that more than 2 year perspective, I mean, we own some of these. We own Meta. We own Amazon. They've had a tough week, but we're not selling them. And ultimately, I think that, they have assets that are hard to replicate. 40% of the world's population visits a Facebook property on a daily basis. Amazon has logistics that no other e-commerce company can touch. And I think you probably have to assume that all that we're in economically is going to fade or will go away eventually, or will stabilize, and these companies are going to right-size their growth rates back to what we're accustomed to.
Thanks, as always, Gene. Great to get your thoughts on tech. Gene Munster, the co-founder of Loop Ventures, with us this morning. Looking again at shares of Amazon right now, they are down 13.5% in the pre-market. Apple shares are higher by 0.7%. Take a look at Tesla as well, now that CEO Elon Musk is also CEO of Twitter. Tesla shares at the moment are down about 1%. S&P futures down 27 points. Dow futures down 64. NASDAQ futures leading the declines, down 138 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Partly sunny today, but cool. Highs in the upper 50s. Sunshine tomorrow, high near 60. We'll be in the low 60s under a mix of sun and clouds on Sunday. Right now, 47 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Imagine your asset management firm's operational infrastructure as a competitive advantage. Let SEI show you how at seic.com/IMS.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are falling, led lower by tech as we wrap up a volatile week. Amazon is leading the decline with shares down 13.5%. Amazon is predicting the slowest holiday quarter growth in the company's history. Bloomberg Intelligence senior analyst Poonam Goyal has more on the results.
Sales were weak across the board. Guidance is weak. Margins are weak. I mean, overall, you know, the bright star here that used to be AWS is also weaker, both on sales and margin. So I think there's a lot to digest, but it's kind of humming the same tunes as other results that we've seen earlier, where the consumer is slowing, spending is slowing, and hence the results are much weaker than expected.
Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Poonam Goyal says Amazon's market value is set to drop below $1 trillion today. So far this week, more than $600 billion in market value is on track to be erased from America's five largest tech companies.
Well, one of those tech companies avoiding the rout, Karen, is Apple. Those shares are up 0.6% after the company posted mostly positive results. Ed Ludlow has more on Apple's earnings from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
It was a mixed bag of results. The stock really bounced around in after-hours trading. The kind of thing that investors latched onto was that iPhone sales in the quarter were weaker than expected. Remember, the new iPhone 14 handset launched on September 16th, which gave 2 weeks in the end of the quarter to get an early read on demand there. There was strength in MacBook, but weakness in services and iPad, and also impacts from foreign exchange, a stronger dollar continuing to be a headwind for mega cap tech stocks, for big tech companies all around the world. Ed Ludlow for Bloomberg News in San Francisco.
All right, Ed, thanks. Well, staying in the tech world, Elon Musk has completed his $44 billion acquisition of Twitter. Bloomberg News has learned he's gotten rid of the CEO and other major executives. Musk plans to be Twitter's chief executive for now. He may also do away with permanent bans on users, a category that includes former President Donald Trump.
Turning to the U.S. economy, Karen, we're wrapping up the week with a few notable data points. This morning, we get the Employment Cost Index, University of Michigan sentiment, pending home sales, and household income and spending.
And S&P futures are down 28 points right now. Dow futures down 66. NASDAQ futures falling down 138. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 46 degrees now in Central Park. Could be slow on northbound FDR Drive. They got construction going on the Upper East Side. Michael Barr's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A quick thinking bus driver may have averted a tragedy in New York City. Police say 44-year-old Dwayne Gaddy, who was arrested, stopped the bus in Queens, boarded it, and pulled out a firearm toward the bus driver. Investigators say the gunman told the driver he was being chased and ordered him to drive. NYPD Deputy Chief John Clune.
The bus driver immediately opened all the doors to allow all passengers to exit. Once on the bus, the male mate made statements that he was being chased and directed the bus driver to continue driving.
Police say the bus driver and the suspect then traveled for more than 30 blocks. When the driver slowed down and jumped out of the window, the bus drove on until it hit a utility pole. New York City Mayor Eric Adams appointed acting fire commissioner Laura Cavanaugh to lead the department on a permanent basis, making her the first female commissioner in the 157-year history of the FDNY. Adams called Cavanaugh a proven and tested leader. Cavanaugh, who is 40, spoke after being sworn in.
Where a shy, introverted, only child could get a one-way ticket to New York City seeking to serve a higher purpose in the best city on earth, and two decades later find herself here leading the greatest fire department in the world through unprecedented times is something that could only happen here.
America's top diplomat addressed the humanitarian crisis in Haiti, sparking protests at the UN over whether military intervention is needed. Meeting with the Canadian Foreign Minister in Ottawa, Secretary of State Antony Blinken told reporters that Canada and the Biden administration agree that more likely needs to be done to help Haitian National Police combat gangs.
Between deepening food and fuel shortages, the growing cholera outbreak, and gangs blockading ports and terrorizing civilians, the situation is simply unsustainable.
The chaos in the nation is blamed on the July 2021 assassination of former President Jovenel Moise. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stanshower.
All right, Nathan. The Nets are getting plenty of scoring from their stars again last night. Kyrie Irving, 39 points. Kevin Durant, 37. But they're getting little from anyone else. Not good enough defense. The Nets are 1-4. Lost at Barclays to Dallas, 129-125 in overtime. Mavs star Luka Doncic scored 41 points at a triple-double. Tom Brady came out of that very short retirement to try and win his eighth Super Bowl, but Tampa Bay is 3-5, lost at home to Baltimore 27-22. Brady's only TD pass came in the final minute. The Giants expected wideout Kadarius Toney to have a big season, but he's hardly played, and the Giants traded Toney to Kansas City for third and sixth round draft picks. Toney, the last first round selection made by the former GM, Dave Gettleman. David Stearns resigned as team president of the Milwaukee Brewers, and some are connecting dots. The Mets are looking for a president. Stearns is a New York native. World Series starts tonight in Houston with Justin Verlander on the mound for the Astros. First ballot Hall of Famer, about to win another Cy Young Award, but in his World Series career with Houston, and before that, Detroit, Verlander 0-6 with a 5.68 ERA.
I would like to get a win. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to. Like I said, that's not my goal, so I don't want to say that feels like it's lacking, because innately that would make it a particular goal of mine. My goal is to go out and give us the best chance to win. If that ends up resulting in a win, great.
Aaron Nola starts for the Phillies, who've been around since the 19th century, but have only won the World Series twice. The Astros and Phillies' combined record this postseason, 16-2. John Stanshower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
Workers at a Trader Joe's in Brooklyn have voted against unionizing. The tally, 94 against, only 66 for joining Trader Joe's United at the Williamsburg store, according to the National Labor Relations Board. And if no objections are filed within 5 days, this vote will be certified. Major hedge funds and private equity shops expanding in Connecticut. We're hearing Citadel, Blue Owl, and a division of Rothschild are among the finance companies extending footprints or expanding leases in Greenwich and Stamford. And sources say Verisian Fund Management is also looking for more space. One Newmark broker tells us the four-hour bed-to-desk commute round trip is just too onerous now for those used to working from home. And is Westwood Bergen County's new hot real estate market, even as the housing market overall cools? NorthJersey.com says Westwood is getting a lot of buyer interest now, thanks to new developments and a thriving retail and dining space. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Thank you, Denise. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Sagging used car prices are starting to hurt the profits of dealers.
I'm Wendy Gillette on WFLA in Tampa this morning. I'm reporting on the latest on a court fight over a proposed transportation surtax.
I'm Stephen Carroll on DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on the British bank NatWest warning of worsening economic conditions as it took a bigger than expected charge for souring loans.
I'm Denise Pellegrini, and on WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting on some big changes in the works for Michigan landlords and renters.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Few Americans remember the horrors that polio once inflicted on children. A massive vaccination campaign nearly eradicated polio from the globe. Now this highly contagious, sometimes debilitating disease is a threat once again. Just 29 cases of wild polio have been recorded so far this year worldwide, while only one case in the U.S. has been recorded. 70 positive samples of polio have shown up in nearby sewage testing. Experts estimate that for each case of paralytic polio, hundreds of others are infected without symptoms. Vaccine hesitancy and the rise of misinformation have created pockets of vulnerability, and even a small decrease in immunizations can lead to large outbreaks. Only through sustained investment can the world protect children from this devastating yet entirely avoidable disease. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg editorial board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N, go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N, go. And you can watch as futures move lower. S&P futures are down 32 points now. Dow futures down 97, and NASDAQ futures leading the declines, down 147 points for a drop of 1.3%. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are sliding along with U.S. stock index futures as disappointing results from tech giants sour sentiment. The NASDAQ pacing losses this morning, down about 1.3%, with shares of Amazon.com down 13.5% after it reported earnings. Apple faring better this morning, up more than 0.5%. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 31 points, Dow futures down 93, and NASDAQ futures down 148. The DAX in Germany's down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 22/32, yield 4.01%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.37%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.3% on $1.21 at $87.87 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $14.10 at $16.51.50 an ounce. And the euro, 0.9953 against the dollar. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Bloomberg has learned that Elon Musk is in control of Twitter and has ousted the CEO and the company's chief lawyer. The sale is originally valued at $44 billion. The billionaire also intends to scrap lifelong bans on users. Russian President Vladimir Putin claimed in an hours-long speech that he has no intention of striking Ukraine with nuclear weapons, but Putin did point fingers at the U.S. and other Western nations, claiming that they are escalating the war there. In Thursday night football, the Ravens beat the Buccaneers 27-22. Tonight, game one of the World Series between the Phillies and the Astros. In the NBA, the Nets lost, the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Bruins won, the Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's round out the week in tech earnings. For that, we are joined joined once again by Bloomberg Quick Take correspondent Alex Webb. And boy, Alex, what a way to end it here with Amazon shares right now just checking down 13.5% on this holiday sales forecast that really came in short of what Wall Street was expecting. I was just talking with Gene Munster from Loop Ventures. He thinks that, Wall Street's gotten used to Amazon sort of outperforming and that maybe this is an overreaction. Is there something to that?
I think possibly the slight complication with Amazon, and this isn't the first quarter that we've seen this, that, yes, as Gene said, the expectation with Amazon is that if they or when they want to, they can turn a spigot and become profitable. Now, the thing that happened during the lockdowns is they massively overspent on building out their essentially their warehouse capacity. And in this quarter, they had already said, in the quarter just gone, they had said that they plan to cut down on expenses. But again, expenses increased more proportionally than revenue increased. So, you know, despite the promises they'd made, they kind of disappointed on that front. You add into that the comments on the upcoming Christmas quarter or the quarter that we're in, and it becomes doubly painful that, you know, revenue not as great, but also cost controls haven't been as good as expected.
Well, how much more can Amazon shave costs?
I mean, quite a lot. You know, Amazon employs something like a million, I mean, more than a million people globally. The fact is that its e-commerce business isn't terribly profitable. It gets most of its profit from the cloud business. So, you know, by extension, if you tamp back on the e-commerce business, then it kind of gives a bit of space for that. AWS, the cloud business's profits to be enjoyed. So, you know, there's, I'm sure, a huge amount of chaff at Amazon that can be cut back. It would just also mean that top-line revenue growth might also be affected.
And I guess this is a reflection as well that, not only are people cutting back on spending and deliveries are maybe not going to be as high as they were during the pandemic, but just that the cost picture is just enormous for Amazon as well.
Yes, and when you have lots of orders coming in and you're able to, say, make, if you have a street of 20 properties and you're able to deliver to half those properties, then the economics start to add up. But if those costs, if the spending starts to slow down and people are a little bit more circumspect about what they're buying, it doesn't become as cost effective to deliver, you know, the $2-3 piece to number 42 because number 38 is ordering a television. You know, if everybody's just buying small stuff, the economics become a little bit more challenging.
Now, turning to Apple now, it's holding up a little bit better in the pre-market, up a little bit more than 0.5%. What's Apple doing right that maybe some of the other tech companies that reported this week aren't?
One of the massive differences between Apple and, say, Amazon is that all of its services kind of feed one beast, and that's the iPhone. And, you know, even the Mac and the Apple Watch, you know, the Apple Watch doesn't really work unless you have an iPhone. The Mac works better with an iPhone because you can take your calls on it because it hands off. And so it has a coherence to it which have just continued to drive its customers towards buying that $1,000 chunk of, aluminium, and I insist on saying aluminium, and
there you go.
Glass. Whereas Amazon, Amazon has a sort of panoply of different offerings, not all of which feed the next one. It's not all geared towards driving people towards Amazon.com. It's not equally geared towards driving people towards AWS. It's a little bit less coherent. Because Apple has this compelling services business, this family of hardware, people go back time and again to buy the iPhone.
Got to ask you about Elon Musk now, reportedly, at least reported by Bloomberg, CEO firing Parag Agrawal and making even more changes potentially.
Yeah, describing himself on his Twitter profile
Chief Twit,
which is, I think it's a British term, though I'm not sure it gets used quite as much in the US. Now the challenge, so the work really begins. How do you turn this company into a success story, particularly a success story that warrants the $44 billion sticker price? There are some levers that he can start pulling. You know, Twitter has not been as good at targeting ads as, for instance, Meta has. Its average revenue per user, not only does it have far fewer users than Facebook, about 200 million compared to the 2 billion across the various Facebook platforms, but it gets less revenue per user than does its Silicon Valley rival. And so if you can improve the ads product, maybe you can improve that. Maybe you can also look at charging corporate subscriptions. So if you're not just a private individual, and you're trying to reach customers or would-be customers, then you have to pay for the privilege of being on Twitter. It might be a harder challenge because Twitter isn't necessarily an essential place to be. You know, there are not as many users as there are in these other places. So how can he turn Twitter into a tech giant? Because at the moment, it's a, you know, $44 billion company, makes it, you know, at times 10 times smaller by market cap than Facebook, considerably smaller than Google or Apple. He's got a long way to go.
Yeah, we'll have to see if he makes some of those job cuts that were reported, that he's now denying, but a lot more to come. Alex Webb of Bloomberg Quick Take, as always, great to have you on with us. Karen.
Nathan, it is 5:54 on Wall Street, and now for a legal story we're watching this morning. Well, Adidas dropping Ye, the mercurial rapper formerly known as Kanye West, in the wake of his anti-Semitic remarks, will cost Adidas a nearly $250 million hit to its earnings this year, but it'll cost Ye even more, reportedly $1.5 billion. The breakup also creates a morass over the intellectual property rights developed in their almost decade-long collaboration. For more, Bloomberg's Joan Grosso speaks to attorneys Zach Kurtz, who founded the law firm Sneaker and Streetwear Legal Services.
Kanye has the trademarks for Yeezy, YZY, Yeezus, among others. His company has more than 160 trademark applications and registrations for his Yeezy brand. So Kanye has the trademarks in this deal. What does Adidas have?
Yes, so Kanye owns his IP that he brought to the table, which is, as you stated, Yeezy and YZY and all the logos and trademarks associated with his brand. In this deal, all the new designs for the Adidas shoes, the 350s, the 750s, literally almost every shoe that Adidas has made with Kanye, the design patents for those appear to be owned by Adidas. What we see from the facts and everything on the table with the design patents and the trademarks and such, it looks like Adidas owns almost all of the designs of these shoes, and Kanye owns and was licensing his YZY and Yeezy brand to be put on those shoes.
What does Kanye have the right to do owning the trademarks?
He's going to have the ability to use his own trademarks, what he owns, on other shoes. Depending on the contract, it might have a wind down period or might have some restrictions in it that say for X amount of time you can't enter this sneaker market or, you know, running shoes or athletic shoes, something like that. But I think upon termination, like we have now, it's up to Kanye to take his trademarks with him and to have new designs or use his trademarks for other purposes on clothing and really just create new designs and new sneakers and everything new on his own. He does own several other design patents. One was for the Yeezy Slide. To me, that's the most interesting one because although his name is on the design patent as the owner and the inventor, it's still associated with Adidas. There'll be a good legal argument, or it'll be tricky to say that there's not confusion.
So now, as far as Adidas, they own these designs. What can they do with that? Can they just put out the same shoes without the Yeezy trademarks?
Yeah, you're right. There's been talk about that, you know, and that has happened before. Other companies have done such a thing. An athlete leaves or the contract expires, they'll take off his branding and his trademark. And some in the sneaker community don't like that when that occurs. And I think in this situation, if Adidas just stripped the Yeezy branding and started selling Yeezys, there'd be a lot of outrage just at Adidas for doing that after they terminated with Kanye. But I think there'd be also sneakerheads and people in the community who purposely wouldn't buy the shoes for that reason.
That's Zach Kurtz of Sneaker and Streetwear Legal Services speaking with Bloomberg's Joan Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And this is Bloomberg.